Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Wednesday, November 29th, week 13, baby. 2 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season for a lot of us out there, and we're going to dive right into it with my initial rankings. Of course, if you want rankings updated throughout the course of the week, you head on over to FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off on a subscription, and that's a 365-day subscription. So if you sign up now, you get that bad boy straight on through, well, the end of November next year. The gift that keeps giving year-round. Let's start at quarterback, and even though it is San Francisco on the other side of the football, Jalen Hurts remains the number one option. He's such a good running quarterback that he adds that massive floor with his legs, and his arm isn't that bad either. Of course, he showed that in the second half against the Buffalo Bills this past week here. So I'm not going to overthink it. He remains the number one option. Moving on to number two, Dak Prescott this week gets those honors. He's been surging like crazy over the middle part of the season here, and I don't mind this matchup whatsoever against Seattle. Patrick Mahomes at three. Facing Green Bay, their pass defense is tougher than their run defense, no doubt about it, but really, are we going to overthink this one with Mahomes? Tua Tagovailoa at four. Really excited for that game. Oddly enough, it has shootout potential. Miami-Washington, you know, it's an odd matchup. They don't play each other very often, obviously. But Tua, a top five option here in that contest. C.J. Stroud rounding out the top five. He's been awesome in his rookie season, no doubt there. Faces Denver, who's surging. But, I mean, at this point, Stroud is locked in as a quarterback one option. Trevor Lawrence surging here as well at number six. I love that he's using his legs a little bit more here to, you know, put some fantasy points on the board. They get Cincinnati. That could be a little bit of a blowout, unfortunately, but they get Cincinnati there on Monday night. Brock Purdy at seven. You can attack the Eagles through the air. Justin Herbert at eight. He's also using his legs here. That's a weird game. There are six-point favorites heading into New England. Obviously, we know how bad New England is this season, but a little bit of a strange game. Still, I'm going to stay the course here with Herbert. Sam Howell at nine. Again, if that's a shootout, Howell, who is leading the league in passing yards, it's Howell then C.J. Stroud, just like we drew it up this season. But Howell can put up numbers. We've seen it several times this season. Even if it's not pretty, he can put up numbers. Russell Wilson at 10, bounce back year for him in that game against Houston. Kyler Murray at 11 has scored, obviously, in three straight games as a runner here. Really haven't seen him hit his ceiling at all. That's a tough contest against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he remains a quarterback one option. And we'll round out the top 12 with Jared Goff. It's New Orleans. It's a Dan Campbell revenge game. But Jared Goff, I mean, mistake prone on Thanksgiving, not spectacular, but good enough to be a back-end quarterback one this week. If I'm streaming this week, it's Jordan Love. It's Gardner Minshew. Maybe Baker. I'm going to try and stay away from Stafford outside of Superflex because it is a tough matchup against Cleveland. Moving to running back, McCaffrey. I don't care if he's facing the toughest matchup for running backs. It doesn't matter. He produces in a variety of ways. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's essentially matchup proof, which is so rare in today's NFL for these guys to be like, yep, doesn't matter. Toughest matchup, who cares? He still could be elite. He's fantastic. Travis Etienne at two. Though I am going to keep my eye on the injury report coming out of Jacksonville here when the practice reports are released to see what his status is. He was a little dinged up last week. As I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, probably a safe bet to go out there and grab D'Ernest Johnson in deeper leagues just for implied value, you know, just to imply value. And if you have ETN, you probably do want to cough him up with him. Alvin Kamara at three. The passing game productivity continues. 100-plus scrimmage yards last week. He's done that four of his last six games here. Tony Pollard at four, actually surging a little bit here over the last 2 weeks, back-to-back top 12 finishes, and should get a favorable game script on Thursday night. Kyren Williams at five. He's awesome. He really is such a surprise, man. When he came into the league, I essentially viewed him as a less athletic version of Austin Eckler. And I'm not trying to trash this dude. He did not test well in the pre-draft process, though. He didn't. And he wasn't that, like, he wasn't a superstar, rock star athlete in his time at Notre Dame. But this year, I don't know what he's done. Like, he obviously runs the system well for Sean McVay, but what he has done from an athletic standpoint, he's really dramatically improved. Fantastic. And yes, it's a tough matchup. I don't care. He can produce in a variety of ways, like Austin Eckler, for example, in the passing game. And Austin Eckler is at 6, by the way. I'm not worried about last week. People are freaking out over last week. I had somebody say, oh, can we even use Austin Eckler anymore? Bro, it was one game in a really tough matchup against Baltimore. Not worried about it. And in fact, I like this spot for him against New England. Isaiah Pacheco at 7. He won't be top 12 most weeks, but it's a great matchup, and there are 6 teams on bye. Remember, he's facing Green Bay. Let's see, Rashad White, another guy who won't be top 12 most weeks, but a great matchup, and 6 teams on bye. He faces Carolina. Bijan Robinson at 9. I really hope the volume continues because he has been excellent over the last 2 games. Derrick Henry at 10 took advantage of a good matchup last week. Gets another good matchup here, a divisional game against Indianapolis, and he typically, over the course of his career, does destroy divisional opponents. This year has been a little different, but I'm willing to use him as a top 12 option. Jahmyr Gibbs at 11. Okay, so New Orleans is a good run defense, no doubt about that. But the thing about Gibbs, and I have Monty at 17. The thing about Gibbs is his production in the passing game is what kind of tips the scales his way. I don't think this game is going to be particularly that competitive, but then again, you know, the NFL can be surprising. Detroit heading to New Orleans in the Dan Campbell revenge game. How dare you let me leave and become a head coach? I'm going to get my revenge. Ramondre Stevenson at 12, 3 straight rock solid performances for him. Raheem Mostert at 13. Okay, this one's subject to change. I don't know if Achan's playing or not. Unfortunately, Hard Knocks gave us no indication of that whatsoever. So I have no clue if Achan is going to play. So stay tuned. Tentatively, I do have Achan throttled back in my projections model at 33, but those rankings mean nothing really on a Wednesday. I'll get more intel here with the first practice report, and then we'll take it from there. And we'll have, you know, the rankings evolve over the course of the week. You know, they're not the best rankings on Tuesday or Wednesday because we're operating on limited information, right? They get better. Obviously, they're the best they're going to be for Thursday Night Football for that one game. But I really feel like I need all 3 practices. I need the week to evolve in terms of the betting markets as well to give that projections model as much intel information as possible to get the best results out of it. Let's move on to Javonte Williams at 14. He's topped 20 touches in 3 of his last 4 games. Breece Hall at 15, I know. I mean, it's tough to use him, but by the same token, the guy's so talented. I almost feel like this is like what I was saying about Rashad White a few weeks ago. I'm not going to fade him, but I can't use him as anything more than RB2. But he's good enough in the passing game to produce RB2 numbers. So that's essentially what he is right now. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers' 21-day window opened up. I have no clue if this dude's going to be back on the field. It just seems like so far-fetched, but it opened up. So there's that. I mean, if I'm the Jets right now, am I really thinking this makes sense to bring this guy back? Right now, the Jets are 4-7. So even if they won out, they'd still be 10-7. I don't know if 10-7 gets you into postseason. I don't know if it does. Possibly. But he's not going to be back this week. So, you know, you lose again this week, you're at 4-8. You're toast. You're done. There's no way you're making the playoffs, you know, in that division. I mean, granted, if you were in the NFC South, yes, you could be an 8 or a 9 or, heck, even a 10-loss team and make the postseason. But that is not happening in the AFC East, and I don't think it's happening in the AFC in general. So it is weird, but yeah, I'm going to say the course of Breece Hall is an RB2. DeAndre Swift down at 16. This is a tricky spot. It's a bad matchup. And we saw, like, you know, last week, if he plays good football, but if he doesn't score a touchdown, then he's not the best fantasy asset. I already mentioned David Montgomery at 17, Jaylen Warren at 18, and actually I have Warren and Najee Harris in RB2 territory this week. Najee down at 24. This is a good spot for them in general. We saw what Kyren Williams just did to this Arizona defense and what teams have been doing to the defense all season long. So a good spot there for both Pittsburgh running backs. Brian Robinson Jr. at 19 in potential shootout. Zach Charbonnet at 20. Okay, so it does not look like Kenneth Walker is going to play. That is the latest news here that was reported earlier this afternoon. So Charbonnet should see volume. It is Dallas, though. But the nice thing is he is a three-down back, so he can, you know, be involved in the passing game. Not necessarily the highest ceiling, but he's definitely an RB2 for me. Joe Mixon at 21. Everybody's stock kind of has gone down here with Jake Browning under center, but again, usable as an RB2. Zach Moss tentatively at 22. So Jonathan Taylor is going to miss time, as I mentioned yesterday. Zach Moss likely will move up. This is just an initial set of rankings, but I will tell you this. I'm going to be using him as an RB2. An RB2 is rankings 13 to 24. So he's going to be somewhere in that range. He will not be atop the list. So I think if anything, maybe he moves up to like 19, 18, maybe 17, but not much higher than that. If you have Zach Moss, though, he will be very usable. And let's be clear, he did face Tennessee earlier this year, and that was the game that he blew the you-know-what up. He had a massive game against Tennessee, and that was with Jonathan Taylor not on the field. Jerome Ford at 23, playing really good football for the Browns. I mentioned Najee at 24. Right on the outside looking in, Devin Singletary. Pierce puts a little bit of a damper on him, but I don't mind this spot against Denver. And honestly, I think maybe you could flex out Pierce if you're a little bit desperate. He's towards the bottom of my flex worthy guys. AJ Dillon, we got to see what's going on with Aaron Jones' health. Chuba Hubbard, he's clearly the lead back. I think you could possibly use Kareem Hunt this week. Maybe Zeke, Algier, maybe some of these cuff guys like Algier, Tajay Spears, if you were really in need. And a lot of people are because of Bi-Mageddon this week. Moving over to wideout, Tyreek Hill. He is on pace to top 2,000 receiving yards. We shall see. He's on a historic run here, though. CeeDee Lamb has scored 6 touchdowns on the season. He's at number 2. He has scored 5 of those 6 touchdowns in his last 5 games. Amon Ra at 3. He has 6 100-yard performances on the season. Only Tyreek has more. Keenan Allen at 4. He is on pace for 150 receptions. So we could have a season where Tyreek Hill breaks the single-season receiving yards mark and Keenan Allen breaks the single-season receptions mark. Of course, that's 149 from Michael Thomas. 150. That's the pace now after last week's big game, but that's still an insane number. You know, even if he tops 130, that's so rare in NFL history, and he looks like he's steamrolling his way towards that. AJ Brown at 5, 95.5 receiving yards per game. That's 5th in the league. Michael Pittman, like, do we just write it in like 8 receptions? Because that seems like what he does every game now. Such high volume in that offense. Gardner Minshew loves him. Mike Evans at 7. I don't want to call it a career year because he's had some pretty impressive years in his career, but this is one of the best seasons of his career. It's shocking. It's with Baker Mayfield. He's north of 30, and he's playing as good as he ever has. Tank Dell at 8. 7 receiving touchdowns on the season for this kid. That's impressive. Jalen Waddle. Only his second 100-yard performance of the season, but it came at a good time here, and he's got a nice spot against Washington. Jamar Chase at 10. Okay, so ordinary weeks, obviously, he would not be a top 10 option, but I think Browning can do just enough to keep him in this range, and obviously 6 teams on bye. Brandon Ayuk at 11, Debo Samuel at 12. They have a really nice matchup against Philly. Nico Collins at 13. We saw the ceiling last week. Is still very much there for Nico Collins. Calvin Ridley at 14. Okay, maybe there is something to this. Zay Jones is on the field. Calvin Ridley plays better. There could possibly be. You know, when you have injuries, in some instances, these guys will, their role just does not change. In other instances, it may, and that could be the case here with Calvin Ridley. All we know is all 4 of his really strong fantasy performances have occurred when Zay Jones is on the field. And he's only really had 1 game that was not good with Zay on the field. Zay is going to be on the field. Now, of course, if you start Ridley, just know you could be in for a wild ride. right? It's like that Gabe Davis type profile, but he has rattled off some good games here. Devontae Smith at 15. I don't know if Dallas Goedert actually is really going to return this week. There are some rumblings that he has a shot. I think it's more likely next week would be the target, but as long as he's not on the field, I mean, we've seen it. Smith is just a prime target for Jalen Hurts, and that has been nice for the last couple of weeks here. Puka Nacua at 16. I actually have Cooper Kupp at 18. It's a really tough matchup. It is a really tough matchup for both of these guys, so they're more wide receiver two options. Christian Kirk in between them. Adam Thielen at 19, DeAndre Hopkins at 20. I don't think it is a surprise that these guys who are well north of 30 are fading a little bit here. Obviously, in the case of Thielen, the team is just an absolute disaster, and who knows what they even look like this week. So play them at your own risk, but it is Tampa on the other side. Opposing offenses have been lighting up Tampa. As far as Hopkins is concerned, I mean, his value is going to be tied to the play of Will Levis. Will Levis has not been putting up the numbers he did in that first start. Still usable. Will Levis, by the way, usable in Superflex this week because, well, there's only 26 starting quarterbacks. Cortland Sutton at 21, having a career year for him. Terry McLaurin at 22 in that potential shootout game there. At 23, DK Metcalf, tough matchup against Dallas for him. I actually have both he and Tyler Lockett down here. Tyler Lockett's at 28. Rashee Rice on the rise here at 24. Is he the new lead wide receiver? Well, he certainly looked like it last week, and he's been trending that direction all season long, so he's in wide receiver two territory. Deontay Johnson at 25. The only problem here with Deontay Johnson is Kenny Pickett doesn't throw touchdown passes, but the offense did look better last week. Garrett Wilson at 26. There's enough here, even with Tim Boyle under center, to use Wilson as a wide receiver three. Josh Downs at 27, coming off massive volume last week, 13 targets for him. I mentioned Tyler Lockett at 28. Chris Olave tentatively at 29. This is we don't know if he's going to clear concussion protocol or not, and I really won't know that until tomorrow. If he goes limited in practice tomorrow, then we're off to the races. If he is DNP and back-to-back practices, that is not good. Marquise Brown at 30. Finally saw some targets this past week. That was good. A little bit of upside there with Marquise Brown, but still more of a wide receiver three play in that contest against Pittsburgh. Jaden Reed, actually the best of the three options here for Green Bay. So I have him at 31, Watson at 36, Dobbs at 39. So they're all top 40 plays. Reed, his usage in multiple ways is really impressive. And I know to anybody out there like, why are you so low on Watson? Well, it was one game. It was one game. And we know boom or bust with him. Reed has had three games in a row. That's a little bit more of a trend. Chris Godwin at 32. You know, he's more of a wide receiver three play at this point. Amari Cooper tentatively at 33. Two things that will impact his status. First and foremost, his health. He has a ribs issue. Secondly, is it going to be P.J. Walker? Because if it's P.J. Walker, then it's going to be really tough to trust Amari Cooper. Hopefully it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Even there, I'm not over the moon on him. But you could see there is a sizable step down from DTR to P.J. Walker. I didn't think it was going to be that sizable, but it is. George Pickens at 34, Brandon Cooks at 35, already mentioned Christian Watson at 36. Rounding out the flex territory here, DeMario Douglas, we'll see if he can make progress through concussion protocol. Drake London down here, I mentioned Romeo Doubs, Jerry Jeudy, Jahan Dotson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, maybe Tyler Boyd depending on T. Higgins' status, Tutu Atwell, A.T. Perry with that banged up New Orleans wide receiver core. All right, let's move over to tight end. I think there are six guys that, you know, you set and forget, although one of them, we got to check his injury status. There are four premium streamers, and then there are a buttload of whatever streamers, I guess is what I'll call them. So the guys that I'm confident locked in, Travis Kelce at one, George Kittle at two, Sam Laporta at three, Trey McBride at four, Evan Ingram, even though he doesn't catch touchdowns, at five, and Dalton Schultz at six. He's the one I want to check on his status. For some reason, we saw a lot of Brevin Jordan last week. I don't know what that's about, but we'll check on Dalton Schultz. I am confident enough to stream these guys, Taysom Hill, Jake Ferguson, David Njoku, and Pat Freiermuth. If Freiermuth has another good game, he'll be in set and forget territory. If I don't have them, I am going in this order with our streamers. And I got to explain a couple of these guys, but here's the order, and I'm willing to go all the way down to 22. So that's 11 to 22. That is a lot of streamers, and it is ugly out there, but here's the order. Logan Thomas, Juwan Johnson, Cade Otton, Kyle Pitts, Gerald Everett, Tyler Conklin, Jonnu Smith, Tucker Kraft, Hunter Henry, Chig Okonkwo, Tyler Higbee, and Tanner Hudson. And Hudson, obviously, the ceiling isn't very high with Jake Browning under center, but he is getting the rock. So there's that. Let me explain Juwan Johnson. I am not over the moon about this right now, but given the current state of this wide receiver group, that's why he comes in a little higher. But this can change over the course of the week. So let's look at the wide receiver group. You have Michael Thomas on IR. You have Rashid Shaheed is not going to play. You have Chris Olave in protocol. If Olave is good, then you'll have Olave and A.T. Perry. Okay. Then is it Lynn Bowden? Is it Keith Kirkwood? Or do they possibly elevate from practice squad Marquez Callaway? That could be a possibility. If that's the case, I'm not really that bullish on Juwan Johnson. I'm going to keep Taysom where he is, but I wouldn't be that bullish on Juwan Johnson, and he'll likely move down in rankings. But if Olave can't go, then this game could be all targets to tight ends and Alvin Kamara, essentially. So we'll keep that one in mind. Let's see, who else? Tyler Higbee. Why is he so low? It's the Browns. I mean, really, that's it. It's a much, much, much tougher matchup than what he had last week. So I'm not over the moon on him. I have these guys in the order I think is most optimal for guys who can score touchdowns, because it's really what I'm trying to do with a streamer like these guys. All right, that wraps it up. Like I said, these are going to evolve over the course of the week, but if you've listened to this podcast all along, you already know that. You probably already also know FTNFantasy.com promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I am at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I am going to be back tomorrow with an injury roundup and wide receiver cornerbacks matchup edition of the podcast. So I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.